Good morning. Good to see you all. If you see a few people, if you see, realize some people are missing, one reason is there's a wedding. Dell and Karen, their son, Jeff, got married yesterday. So probably 15, 20 people from our congregation are up there in Huntsville with them for that event. Okay, so that explains why some people are missing. My wife is gone. My kids are gone. I'm alone with the dog. But that's okay. I've still got this, my Savior God. Okay, my name is Nigel. If you haven't met you, you know, come after. If you introduce yourself, don't be shy. We'd like to meet you. You know, this is September, right? I know summer's over. I finished at Labor Day. Everybody's back in school, back in college, etc. The traffic is back to its usual congestion after the summer, etc. Okay, two announcements about youth and college because they're back. The youth are having a special event Saturday, September 26th at Mark and Carol's. That's out in Bowmanville going east. The youth need drivers. We need young people to drive to Mark and Carol's place in Clarington. It's 40 minutes east on the 401. Okay, if you can help and drive, we need drivers for 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and then the return drive at 8:30. So Josh is here somewhere. Where is he? Is he over here? No, he's on the next one. Sorry. Ian will be back. Sorry, Josh is the next one. Okay, Ian will be back next week. You can text him, phone him, right? You know, if you're willing. Okay, we still have a little bit of time. Okay, second announcement, which relates to Josh. Okay, if you're in University College, U of T, Scarborough, you know, Ryerson, et cetera, the first meeting for downtown for Lighthouse, that's the college group, the first meeting's this Friday. They're going to have a potluck at OISE, downtown Bloor Street, 6:30. I think. Yes, I'm told. Yeah, six. Okay. All right. You want more details? See Josh. He's over there. Okay. So I've fulfilled my duties with announcements. Okay. We've been covering a series on kingdom sight. It's on Matthew. We didn't cover the whole of Matthew. We rather picked up the parables in Matthew, which there are a good number, which Jesus used to convey points. There's stories with a point. That's a parable. And we're coming toward the end. There's three or four at the end, and we're in that last group of parables. That's what we're covering today. So kingdom sight. In Matthew 24:25, Jesus began to talk about what would happen in the future, in the near future when he spoke, and the distant future, some of which is still future to us today. And Jesus used parables in that context. That's the group we're covering, the group of parables we're covering. So Jesus was there. He was with them. He told them, I'm going. And he indicated there would be a delay, an interval of time before his return, right? He didn't say how long. And probably nobody anticipated this long, but he used the matter of delay. It comes up in these parables. But Jesus promised he would return. In the Bible, Jesus promised to return. He was with us physically on the earth, you know, from around 30-odd years, around 2,000 years ago, physically with us. He died for us, imparted the Spirit to his disciples. He said, go and disciple all the nations. I'm with you spiritually to the end of the age. Physically, he departed. This is in Acts, but he promised to return. Remember in Acts, read Acts chapter 1. Jesus took the disciples to the Mount of Olives, and as he was speaking to them, he was taken up. He departed physically, visibly from the earth. He ascended out of their sight, right, from them. He left them to carry on his commission. And as they were looking into heaven, their disciples were told, this Jesus whom you saw going into heaven will come in the same way. It's not just a spirit. Yes, he's with us spiritually. But Jesus also promised to return physically. There's a promise of the physical return of Jesus to the earth. That is his coming, second coming or return. So we have the second coming of Christ. First coming through birth to Mary in Bethlehem. He lived a life. Second coming is when he returns to fully bring in his kingdom. He came the first time, brought the kingdom. It's here, but not in a full way. He will come again to fully bring in the kingdom. So we're in that interval, right? That started with his ascension and is continuing today. But Jesus said, I will return. And that's important. Somebody else said, I will return. Who's that? Don't say Elvis. Somebody else said, I will return. Who? Yes, thank you. If you're from the Philippines, you right, you know. I shall, a famous quotation, I shall return. General, U.S. General Douglas MacArthur in World War II. He was with the U.S. forces in the Philippines. The Japan invaded and the U.S. withdrew. As they withdrew, General Douglas MacArthur made this promise. 20th of May, March 1942, after he left, he promised, I will return. That was his promise, important promise. And he left, he went to Australia, etc., and the war progressed, etc., etc. Don't you think about it. I know you weren't there, I wasn't there. Don't you think people who were there, you know, they're hoping, expecting, looking, you know, They're under enemy occupation for sure. They're hoping, expecting, maybe even praying that promise will be fulfilled. I will return. Right? Probably your father's grand, right? If you were there. Okay, in the Philippines. After 30 months of enemy occupation, General Douglas MacArthur led the U.S. troops to land in the Philippines. Right? So after 30 months, that's history. 20th of October, 1944, General Douglas MacArthur landed. There's a famous photo. There he is. Right? He walked up the beach. Right? He declared this, people of the Philippines, I have returned. Right? By the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Philippine soil. Famous quote. MacArthur said, and listen, you may, you know, even historically, the fact that MacArthur promised that was crucial. The plan A for the U.S. as they in the Asian Pacific theater was to go directly to Japan. Philippines was going to be left till later. But MacArthur told the chief of staff and the president, I have promised the people of the Philippines that I will return. I promised them. We got to go there. Because of that, the U.S. forces changed their plan. It's not plan A, it's plan B. Plan B is we liberate the Philippines. So historically, the fact that MacArthur promised, I will return, changed the course of history in that for the Philippines. Okay? Look, that's history. And it, you know, it affects you, you know, doesn't that much affect most of us. Jesus, more crucial, Jesus promised, I will return. Amen? That promise is still outstanding. That promise is made. And that one day that promise will be fulfilled. Jesus will return. Amen? Amen. All right. That's more sure than Douglas MacArthur. Right. Praise the Lord. All right. He told us he will return. He didn't tell us when. The fact is that he told us the fact, I will return. That's the fact. That's the promise. He didn't tell us when. And a lot of people try to figure out when. Okay. The kind of coming that Jesus promised in Matthew 24, 25, he's talking about his open, visible coming to this earth. He's not talking about a secret coming for believers, the rapture, you know, left behind, that kind of thing. That is spoken of in other places. In Matthew, he's talking about physically, visibly coming to the earth. He says, as in the course of that chapter, this is leading up to the parables, he says, as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Lightning is visible all over. He's coming outwardly, it will be visible. He says, all the earth's tribes will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. They'll see. It's not secret. When he comes, it's going to be physical, visible. They'll all see. And he says, when the Son of Man comes, chapter 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his angels, he will sit on his glorious throne. He's coming to fully bring in the God's kingdom on this earth. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ to fully bring in God's kingdom. That's the kind of kingdom he's talking about. And if we keep that in mind, that will help us. Oh, the context, let's just back up a little bit. Yeah, there we go. Good picture. Jesus, there's somebody's, James Tissot, painted a lot of pictures. It's about 100 years ago from the Bible. Here's one. Jesus was in the temple, had been in the temple dialogue, disputing with the leaders. As he's leaving the temple, some of the disciples turn to him and start showing Jesus the features of the temple. That was magnificent, one of the wonders in the sense of the ancient world. It was worth seeing. They're pointing to Jesus, the beauty of the temple. Jesus responded. He said, you see all these things? All these things you see? Not one stone will remain on another stone which will not be torn down. Every stone you see will be torn down. This temple will be destroyed. That's what it means. The disciples are shocked. It took years and years to build it. It had a long history, 500 years. Jesus is saying, it's going to all come down. The disciples are shocked. Later, some disciples come and ask Jesus, what about this? When's this going to happen? What's it like? That initiated this talk. So, and we have pictures. We know within a generation, that temple was destroyed. And the right, there was AD 70, the Roman Empire attacked Jerusalem, responding to rebellion from their point of view, and they destroyed that temple, and it remains destroyed today. And what you see is, and the stones, of which there were many and big, the stones are still there. Some of them, the stones from Jesus said, every stone will be torn down. It was torn down. What you see and what is left is the base. The foundation, the structure itself was torn down. Okay, so Jesus spoke about that as a future event. It's now past. And Jesus spoke about other things going forward, right? Because they also asked, the question was, when will these things be? The destruction of the temple. And what is the sign of your coming? Jesus spoke about his future coming to this earth. So Jesus told the 12, gave a detailed account to the disciples, and it's recorded in Matthew 24 into 25. Jesus talked about, the beginning of birth pains. He talked about something called the Great Tribulation, not just tribulation, Great Tribulation, the kind not seen historically and never be seen again. He talked about something called the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that desolates, standing in the temple. He said, after the tribulation, so a lot of trouble, big trouble. And he said, after these things, there'll be signs in heaven. Sun, moon, stars, and powers will be shaken. There'll be signs, heavenly signs. Now, I mention this because, among Christians, certain sectors of Christians emphasize some emphasize signs, some are looking, trying to predict when will Jesus come back. And some of this is hot topic right now. Jesus talked about signs in the sun, moon, stars, and powers. In the Bible, it also talks about it talks about the moon turning to blood. That's in the Old Testament. Right now, if you write Joel 2:31, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. This is on the internet. It's on CNN because some people say, John Hagee, for instance, says, you know, this year, 2014 to 2015, the blood moon, when the moon looks red, will occur more often than it has for a long time. Blood moon, this calendar year, there will be four blood moons. Then Christians are getting excited, you know. Does that mean Jesus will come? Does that mean this is the end of the world? Does that mean, you know, tribulation is coming? You know, you have the dates. So we've had a series of blood moons. The next one, the last, right, there's one on the 23rd of this month. There's one on the 29th of this month. If you want to go look, go look. No problem. But, you know, Jesus, before you get excited, and there's a tendency for some Christians to get, you know, either troubled or anxious or excited by these things. One of the elders got a phone call from somebody the other week, you know. Should I liquidate my portfolio? Should I sell my stocks, my ETFs, my mutual funds? Because, you know, the end of the world is here. Maybe I should buy gold. Because the world is ending as we know it. Well, look, Jesus said, let's, you know, you got to take everything Jesus said. Yes, he talked about signs, but, you know, blood moon happens pretty often. You know, it's not a once in a century event. So, you know, Jesus gave general signs and some more specific things, but Jesus gave general signs, and he emphasized five times in this section, no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour. So don't say it's good, you know, and there's some other stuff on the internet, you know. September 23rd is significant because of this, that, the other. You know, everybody gets wound up. No, it's not, you know, we've seen this before. If you lived a couple of years, we saw this before. In 2011, if you remember, think back a little bit, there was a big event. Here you go. Harold Camping in the U.S., you know, he did some math. Some people are fascinated with math. Maybe you're a literature person. Some people like math, and you find a lot of numbers in the Bible, and you add and compute and subtract and whatever. You take the log, exponential, and, okay, you can come out with something. He said, okay, the end of the, you know, judgment day, he said, and this is on radio, TV, judgment day is coming May 21st, 2011. Right, he computed his days. And remember, there were billboards. If you didn't see them actually, you saw them on TV. I think we have some, you know, right? There you go. You know, Family Radio was telling us in U.S., Judgment Day is May the 21st. The Bible guarantees it. You know, end of the world, Judgment Day. This is the day. Listen. Whenever you hear somebody gives you a specific day, you got to remember this. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour, right? Not even, no one, no human, not even the angels, nor the Son, only the Father, only God the Father knows the day. And he's not telling anyone. Right, he's not telling Harold Camping. He's not, you know. So, you know, we have to know the Bible. Some people get excited and wound up, and you know, people. Judgment Day was, of course, we're still here, right? So it didn't happen. You know, some people quit their job. You know, sold their house. You know, whatever. Bought a camper and traveled around telling everybody Judgment Day. Well, afterwards. May 22nd, you got to go back. Can I have my job back? I'd like to rent my apartment again. Well, hey, maybe your job's been taken and your apartment's been rented, so you still got your camper. So, you know, before we get excited and wound up with these things, let's know what the Bible says. And it says clearly that Jesus said, no one knows the day or hour. It's five times in this chapter. You know, it's hard to miss. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. Okay, and general, then you may say, well, we know the week. No, actually, Jesus meant we don't know the time. And it's going to be like a thief. The thief doesn't ring up for an appointment. Tell me, please tell me when you're out. I like to visit your house. That's not what thieves do. When they come, they come. Jesus coming is going to be like that, right? So no one knows the day or hour, right? Okay, so we got some verses. Let's go to a little, we don't have time. We prepared material. It's at the back, and that has quotes that are helpful. We don't have time to read them all on these kind of issues, right? On these verses. That material quotes to you 15 different scholars and writers on different aspects of this section, right? It's prepared for your help. Okay, so there's a verse. Let's go to the verse. It starts, but concerning that day. This is part, pick it up quite way through. Here's your verse, crucial verse. But concerning that day, the day of the Lord's coming, return. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. God the Father, right? Okay, now, Jesus told some general things. For as were the days of Noah, remember that phrase, as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be, like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, or the flood came and took them all away. That's important. They were unaware. Okay, back up, 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus returns, it will be like it was at Noah's time. There was parallels. What's the parallel? For as in those days of Noah, before the flood, people, they, in general, were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah's the exception, Noah entered the ark, and they, people in general, were unaware until the flood came and took them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus did not talk about, we know, read Genesis 6, the earth was violent and things like that. Jesus didn't emphasize that. He emphasized the normalcy of society. People were eating and drinking. That's regular. Marrying, normal. Giving in marriage. Life went on as usual. And most people, he emphasizes, people in general were unaware. They did not know judgment was coming. Until what? Judgment came, the flood, and took them all away. Judgment took people away in general. Exception, Noah. Noah and family were not taken away. They had the ark. The ark remained. They were left. Right? Judgment came, the flood came, and took people in general away, and Noah and the ark remained. They were left. They survived. That's Genesis, how it's told here. Okay. Therefore, you also must be ready. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. You do not know, for you do not know when your Lord was coming. Let's back up, because I know some of us, when you read verse 40 and 41, you think it's something else. When Jesus comes, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Some of you think about rapture. It sounds like rapture. Look, there's somebody's drawing. Somebody's taken, one's left. Actually, in the context, this is not talking about rapture. It's not talking about rapture. It's not talking about the secret coming of Jesus Christ. The whole chapter is talking about the open coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. He's saying, think about it. At the time when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus returns, it will be like it was at Noah's time. People then were eating and drinking. People now are eating and drinking. People then were unaware. People now are unaware. At Noah's time, the flood, that's God's judgment, came. The flood waters came and took the people away. The flood, that's judgment. It's not rapture. The flood came and took them all away. So will it be when the Son of Man comes. One will be taken. That's like the flood taking people away. And one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken away and one will be left. You want to be taken or you want to be left? Some people are confused. I know. Think about it. At Noah's time. Back up. At Noah's time, the flood came and took most people. The flood came and took most people away. Actually, that was the end of their human life. The end of their life. The flood came and took people away. Who was left? Noah and family. The flood came and took them, they, other people, away. Noah and family were left. If you were there, you want to be taken or you want to be left? I want to be with Noah. I would pick with Noah. They were taken away. Noah was left. You want to be taken? You want to be left? I would want to be left with Noah. Jesus says it's going to be like that when the Son of Man comes. One will be taken away, like the flood. One will be left. You want to be taken or you want to be left? I want to be left. Two women. You're confused, some of you. This is not talking about rapture. And I have some quotes in there. This chapter is not talking about rapture. It's talking about Jesus coming to earth to judge and to set up his kingdom. That's what it's talking about, right? So in Luke, same, you know, Jesus doing the same talk. One's taken, one's left. And Jesus says in Luke's section, people ask, okay, what Jesus says, Luke chapter 17, 34 through 7. One taken, one left. Two women grinding in the mill. One will be taken and the other left. The disciples asked Jesus, where? Where, Lord? One will be taken and one will be left. The disciples asked, where? Where what? One will be taken. One will be left. We know where the one left is. They're wherever they are. One will be taken. The disciples asked, where? Where will they be taken? Obvious understanding. Where, Lord? Jesus says, where the corpse is, there the vultures gather. One will be taken. Where, Lord? Answer, where the corpse is, there the vultures gather. We have a picture of vultures. There you go. Where the corpse, where the dead body is, that's where the vultures go. Is that a nice place? You want to go visit the vultures? So, okay, taken where? Where the vultures are. Do you want to be taken? You want to visit the vultures? Or you want to be left? I'll choose to be left. Our choice is up to you. All right. This, yes, is there rapture in the Bible? Yes, there is. But it's not here. That's the point. You can't find rapture in this chapter. It's not there. Let's leave rapture where it is. Okay, Jesus is coming to the earth. And in this context, you know, because if there's rapture, you say, you know, then you don't worry about what happens later. Jesus is telling disciples, no, you got to live. You're going to live, right? And you got to continue. This is how to live. All right, so let's go forward. All right, then Jesus told parables. How to live. How to live. Knowing all the, okay, Jesus is going, there's a long time interval, there's things going to happen, wars, rumors of wars, famine, etc., etc. How to live. Then Jesus told a number of parables. Number one, we covered last week. Number one says, serve, serve. I like the version in Mark. It's like a one-sentence summary. You know, what's it like? What should we do to be ready to prepare for Jesus' coming? Answer, Jesus' answer is like a householder who is going on a journey. The householder is the Lord. He's Jesus. He's going away. And he gives to each servant a task. He gives to each servant a task. Blessed is the one who's doing what his master told him. What should we be doing until Jesus comes? Answer, we should be serving. We should do what the master tells us to do. Amen? Is that simple? That's parable number one. Parable number one says, how to be ready? Serve. How do I serve? Answer, do what the Lord told you to do. You say, I don't know what that is. Ask him. Don't ask me. Right? Ask him. So, okay, my first question. I got some questions for you. Okay. Number one, you got the question? You got the question? Are you doing your task? You want to be a Christian who's ready when Jesus comes. You got to ask yourself, am I doing what Jesus wants me to do? Am I serving him in the way he wants me to? That's the point of the parable. To wait for Jesus coming is not just to look at the sky. It's not to say, when's the next blood moon? It's not to say, when do the numbers all compute? When do the things line up? No, it's not knowing when he comes. We should be faithful to serve. Be faithful and wise to serve. Are you doing what Jesus wants you to do? Are you on task? Amen? He's the master. Ask him. If he tells you to do it, do it. Keep on doing it. Faithful and wise. Number two. Here's another parable. Don't worry, we got time. Okay, parable number two is the wise and foolish virgins, or bridesmaids, some translations say, right? Some are away at a wedding, there's bridesmaids. In this parable, it doesn't even talk about the bride. In our weddings, you know, here comes the bride, here comes the bride. In this parable, it does not talk about the bride, period. It's here comes the groom, here comes the groom. Okay. It's the groom and bridesmaids. Okay. Okay. Chapter 25 says this. Then when Jesus comes, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins or bridesmaids who took oil lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them, 10 in total, five were foolish and five were wise. What's the difference? When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wives took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, there's a delay, they all became drowsy and slept. At midnight, there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom. Here comes the groom. Here comes the groom. Go out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Share. Share. That's what we teach our toddlers. Guess what? Some things you can't share. But the wise answered, saying, since there won't be enough for you and for us, go rather to the dealers, sellers, and buy for yourselves. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, that would be the wise, went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the others came, the foolish, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Jesus says, watch, for you do not know, you know neither the day or the hour. We've got to be ready, and here, to be ready is to be wise and to be prepared. Some are not wise, they're foolish. Are you wise or foolish? Who's wise? Who wants to be wise? You should all put up your hand. I know none of us want to be foolish. It is foolish to be wise. Okay, be wise. The wise have what they need. And the foolish... Foolish is not the same as false. Different spelling. And foolish is not fake. They're not false. They're not fake. They're just foolish. And they're foolish means they don't have what they need. Okay? So, then the obvious question to ask is, what do you need? In the story, they need the extra oil. What does that signify? Answer, Jesus didn't say. And there's many suggestions. I could list, you know, we can find a dozen, 15. It's love, it's charity, it's the Holy Spirit, it's power, it's, you know, subjective experience. It's a lot of people suggest a lot of things. Answer, Jesus did not say. He did not say what the oil signifies. But it does tell you, what's the point? You and I need something. It's not just I'm a Christian, I'm regenerated, I'm born again. No, there's something more that you and I need to be ready to enter into the best that God has. We need something, right? And we have to ask. It's whatever you need to get in to that, to be received at the topmost portion of the kingdom. That's what it signifies. Second question. What's the question? Have you got what it takes? The point is, it takes something. You need, there's something you need. There's something I need, something Christians need to be received at that banquet. And it's right. And it's not just, you know, to be a bridesmaid to know something more. And the question you and I need to ask ourselves and ask the Lord should be, Lord, show me, what do I need? What do I need to be received by you at that event? Amen. Have you got what it takes? Then you got to ask, what does it take? What's required to be received? If you don't have it, you're in the other category, right? And you're not received, you're rejected. Then the other one shows up, and the shock in the story is the door shut, and the answer from the masses, I do not know you. That doesn't mean I never knew you. If you read the material, I don't know you means it was used by rabbis with their students. If you don't want your student to show up next term in your class and he wants to show up, you tell him, I don't know you. In other words, you're not a credit to me. I don't want, you know, we got some teachers here. You know, some, and this, if you're a teacher, some kids you want in your class next term and some you'd rather not have. Right? Okay, at that time, they want to be in your class. You'd rather not have the answer, I don't know you. You're not a credit to me. You're not, you know, you're not doing what I want. You're not learning what you should learn. So again, it doesn't mean they're false. It means they don't have something, right? Jesus said, the parable says, the Lord says, I don't know you. Have you got, you know, to be a Christian, we ask people, you know, do you, you know, somebody around you, you have an opportunity, you ask them, do you know Jesus? That's a good way to start the conversation. Do you know Jesus? Well, I know about him. Well, it's more than that. Do you personally know Jesus? Right? How to know Jesus is begin the Christian life. Here, there'll be a day when the question will be not, do you know Jesus? For the Christians, for the believers, for the disciples, the question is, does Jesus know you? That's another story. Last question. Ask yourself, does Jesus know you? Today we ask people, do you know Jesus? Knowing of Jesus, following Jesus should lead to his recognition, acceptance, receiving of us, right? That he would say in that day, I know you. Yes, I know you, and I receive you, I welcome you. Let's make that our goal. Let's not just be satisfied with, you know, the least, the lowest common denominator, the least that I can do. You know, don't say, well, if I can creep in the corner of the kingdom, good enough. No, brothers and sisters, friends, we should be endeavor in our Christian life. I want the best that God has for me, that God has prepared for me. I want that. What does that mean? In the story, Jesus would say, I know you, I welcome you, I receive you to that banquet. That's the picture he has for us. Let's pray and we're finished. Lord, we pray for this week. Lord, we give you this week. It's another week in our life. Lord, you're still away. You've not returned. You're giving us, still giving us time to know you, experience you, live knowing you in our within, seeking your will, seeking to follow you. We pray your blessing on everybody here in this room. Pray, Lord, be with us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Pray you would be in our life. We could interact with you. We could know what you want in our lives, how you want us to live. Grant us the strength and response to you to go along with how you lead us in faithfulness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you. We're done. Sorry, I took an extra 5 minutes. Forgive me. There's announcements. Oh, okay. Roland has sign-up list for drivers. Maybe you should put it out there. And he's going to have a pen. Here's a pen. Okay. Okay, out there. Thank you. We're done. See you next week. God bless.